When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Like, thankfully, my mom's side of the family, it's Tamba, T-A-M-B-A, very hard to screw up for people 60 years ago. My night mama's name is Serjak. You weren't getting that past immigration. You just weren't. So the idea, like, you know, like my buddy Nate, his family's name is Johnson. Their origins name when they came over was Janoshek. So what's a last name anyways? Is what I'm saying. I think I improved your last name.
I always wondered if whoever came over from whatever for my family.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it was Germany, I guess.
I'm going to go with that.
And that's what I'm saying. I assumed that they just like, they couldn't pronounce the name and they were like, where are you from? And they were like, Germany. And they were like, all right, your last name is going to be German. That's where I think, that's not a very exciting origin name. You know what I mean?
I'm so glad, though, that it didn't happen to my family. And it was like, because if my last name was Hungry, guys.
Nick
listen,
Hungry.
Like, I bragged off air that I never really got bullied a whole lot in school. If my fat little name was Nick Hungry, guys, there's no way I have the confidence to do this career.
Would be fitting, though, you know?
I mean, it would be. It'd almost be too on the nose, right? So we were just having the conversation. I do want to get a couple things here before we get into the Browns, but there were a couple things we got into in the last hour. And we're actually going to start with the who should throw out the first pitch of game one of the ALDS in Cleveland, because Guardians of the Land, one of the popular Twitter accounts, big Guardians fans, they say Terry Francona. I'm not too hip on that. Do you like Tito? Is that like your favorite submission?
I mean, I think it's a cool idea, and I think I like what Mandy had to say, that if you got like later in the playoffs, maybe that's like the move you pull out. If you're in like, you know, World Series game one or something, it's like, here's Tito. Like, last time you were here, it was with him. That's kind of a cool move. But I don't know if that's what I'm gravitating towards just for this game, the first game of the ALDS on Saturday. And I like where your head was at. I don't know. Like, I feel like if you just go the celebrity route, we all just recycle the same Cleveland celebrities all the time. It's like, oh,
there's
Drew
like
Carey. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's the same people over and over again, unless you really want the Paul brothers, which I agree with you, which you said that I'd rather they just, you know, don't come back.
Yeah.
But
again, if they want to buy me saying nice things about it.
Didn't they grow up in like Avon?
I thought it was Lakewood.
Lakewood?
Yeah.
And they like talk about how they grew up in the mean streets of Lakewood. Yeah. Okay. Real mean.
I've been there.
Real
very
mean. Those streets of Lakewood.
Yeah.
It's no Cleveland Heights, but you know.
I'm going to pull my punches on that one. I've already taken enough shots in the last like 2.5 hours. I'm going to pull my punches on that joke about Lakewood. We love you, Lakewood.
We do love Lakewood, but it's not the mean streets of Lakewood.
No, fair. I was going to say something condescending, and I'm not going to.
Yeah, that's fair. But no, I think stay away from the celebrities for now is fine. The two names that sort of popped up in my head as I was driving and listening to you were either, if you really want to go like the baseball player route, like a former Indian / Guardian, I kind of liked the idea of Corey Kluber. I thought that'd be cool.
It's kind of a tone setter in that he has no personality.
Well, but you know,
in a good way.
You know,
I mean that in a good
way. You know what's funny about that? I didn't get a chance to play the audio last week on Friday with you because I was going to do that Baker Mayfield audio of him talking about if Cleveland wins the Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. And he said that on Corey Kluber's podcast. And I listened to that. When I heard the clip, I was like, the most shocking thing about all this isn't that Baker Mayfield was talking about Cleveland. It was that he said it on a podcast that Corey Kluber does. Corey Kluber does a podcast now?
Now, is this like Corey's name is on the podcast and like...
It's called Casa de Klub is what it's called.
Of course. That's because when I think of Latin flair when I think of Corey Kluber. Is this like where
when they did Latina night at the Guardians games, he was railed down with it. That was his favorite night of the year.
That's when it was Casa de Klubs, if you know what I mean. So let me ask you, is it like somebody else talking for 15 minutes and then Corey like leaning in and going, no? Or yes. I feel like the man had two answers, as I remember it.
We need to do more research on that, because I didn't listen to the whole podcast. I just heard that clip, and he actually said more than just yes or no at the end of it, because he's kind of like, yeah, that's you're right about that. They love their Browns, and that like it was something along those lines, like real basic. But now I kind of want to do some research on this.
You have no idea how you've just sent me down a glaucoma medication rabbit hole. At some point, I am going to listen to an inordinate amount of Corey Kluber's Casa de Clubes while enjoying some of the legalities around here in Ohio. So I can tell you one that I really loved. Tristian? What is it when it's an I-A-N instead of A-N?
I think it depends.
Tristian?
I think some people would say it was still just Tristan, and they just, like, the A or the I is silent, or okay. I guess the I would be silent.
Well, yeah. Now I've really butchered his name, so that's great. Sorry about that, fella. I should have just gone with the last name. His last name's Hooten. That's a great one.
That's a good name.
It would be great if he had, like, it'd be a great cop show if he had, like, a partner named Hollerin. Hooten.
Hooten Holler. That sounds like a good law firm name.
I should
here
not do
Hooten
this.
And Hollerin. We have your back if you get in an accident.
He actually had somebody that I think
call could, Hooten and Hollerin today.
So he said, well, how about Jim Donovan? Think about that. I made fun of the man's name, and he gave us like.
That's a really good
answer. I'll be honest, guys. Like,
he'll be available because he's not traveling with the team, obviously. So he'll actually be here on Saturday. Because I did think about like some Cleveland Browns as options, but it was like, well, they're not going to be here on Saturday, so it can't be one of them.
So the reason why I like Jimmy is I just think it's a great perspective, and I obviously before he was the Browns play by play man. He wasn't just that. He was also on WKYC, so he did cover the Guardians for a long amount of time. So I do love that. I will cry like a baby, though. I don't have a high tolerance for that kind of thing. The emotional first pitch, I will admit, I better not be while I'm on air because it's not going to sound good. Not that anything else I do sounds good. So I love that one. I mentioned Rajah Davis, and that's been crapped all over. Real Xavier P saying, what about Donovan Mitchell?
Again, I thought about Donovan, but he's not going to be here because they have training camp in Florida right now. So that was it. I thought that was a good answer, especially after his commentary yesterday on how much he loved Cleveland. We know he's a big baseball fan because and he actually, I think in his yesterday, I think he mentioned he's going to be going to some of the playoff games once they're back in town. So I do like that answer, but then it hit me like he's not going to be here. So that's going to have to be one that you save for later. I will say, though, if you're thinking the Cavs route, this was the other name that I thought of. J.R. Smith.
Because of the glaucoma medication?
No. What does that have to do with the glaucoma
medication?
Just want
to get everybody a little contact high.
I think J.R.
Smith. Take the edge off?
J.R. Smith is somebody who, when he shows up, like this city, they go crazy for him. They love J.R. Smith. He could do like throw out the first pitch, rip your shirt off, everyone will go crazy. I think that's a good like tone setter, like sort of like in the middle of like walk down memory lane, somebody who's won a title here, but also like, you know, not so serious like Jim Donovan that it's going to leave everybody just crying and sobbing as they're in their seats.
All right. So I love J.R. So I love that. Why not LeBron? Guys, think about how Cleveland would lose their ever-loving
mind. But is he going to leave? I mean, I guess he left. He skipped Cavs games to go to like watch Ohio State play or whatever.
He can do whatever the hell he wants. What is
he did pick his coach? So his coach isn't going to be that bad.
Is DirecTV Rob Lowe going to tell him? Rob Pelinka, is he going to tell him? Hey, LeBron, don't want you throwing out that first pitch. Is JJ Redick? Actually, no. JJ probably will ask LeBron for the permission to then tell LeBron that he can't go throughout the first pitch.
Hey, is it okay if I tell you can't go?
No. All right, have fun. We have some coming in here. Also, we've got multiple people, Jose, Matt, and now the assassin, Keith Britton, saying the Paul brothers are from Westlake. So we'd like to apologize to the city of Lakewood.
Sorry. That could have been misconstrued. I don't mean even worse. They're from Westlake. Nothing wrong with the five people of Westlake.
Yeah.
I mean, it's even worse that they say the mean streets of, because, I mean, come on. It's
Spencer's
Westlake.
Ass is not welcome on the west side anymore. I mean, granted, none of us are welcome in Avon and Avon Lake, but now you can't even go as far as Lakewood or Westlake.
For shizzle.
Real quick here, we're going to go through. Let's go with Chris in Knoxville. Real quick, buddy, what you got for us?
Hey, my thought was Jim Donovan. You
Thunder. I agree. There'd be a little lump in everybody's throat for a few seconds, but the essence, the heart of Cleveland, I think everybody turn it around and go nuts.
Look at that. Chris, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much. Jace in Amherst, who should throw out the ceremonial first pitch of game one here in Cleveland of the ALDS for the Gardos?
Oh, I was going to call and say Jim Diamond also, but two people already said it. But thanks for taking my call anyway.
I like where you're at with that. I like uniformity, guys.
I thought of another one.
What's that?
Nick Chubb. On the week that he's coming back to practice, he's not going to be traveling to D.C. for the game, or Landover, I guess, whatever. He's not going to the game because he's not going to play this week, most likely, unless something crazy happens. So he's going to be in town. We saw how crazy everybody went when he did the guitar smash last year on the Jets game, clinching the playoff spot. I think that might be the answer. That might be the one.
If there's a Browns player that could do it, it's either Nick Chubb or it's Myles Garrett. Because
Deshaun Watson isn't a good answer?
Nor Tony Busby. But
so can you imagine if Deshaun Watson threw the first pitch and the film gurus out there on Twitter? Oh, I don't know. That's a little bit outside.
That the accuracy. This is
accuracy.
Yeah, this is just and this then side of the guy that hit the guy in the business.
And if the Guardians lose, it'll just be, well, Deshaun was at the game. That's why we lost. Yeah. Bad omen. And he'll just take the blame for it. He can't come anywhere near a Guardians game. Just don't even bother.
The funniest troll move by the Guardians ever. The problem is you'd be trolling your own fans.
Yeah, that's not smart.
But I have a hunch that the Guardians wouldn't want to put a Cleveland Browns player on the bump for that.
Because they're 1-3 and they stink?
They're
like, we don't want any. It's the Browns stealing enough of their thunder. From Talladega Nights. It's, don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
The Browns steal enough of their thunder as it is. Let's put it that way.
True.
Mike and Elyria, real quick, buddy. First pitch candidate. What you got?
I got two for you. Stick to baseball. Go with Len Barker and Rick Manning, two guys who are forever tied together. If you can't get them, man, Kenny Lofton is the man. And make a push for him to get in the Hall of Fame as well.
Mike, I really like the Kenny Lofton one. Kenny will forever be one of my favorite baseball players. I love that one quite a bit. Let's go. Kayla likes it. Paul in South Euclid, real quick here, buddy. First pitch candidate, what you got?
Yes, I think that was a great one there, Kenny. But I think it should be something like Chief Wahoo, you know, kind of passing the baton, throwing that pitch to maybe the new Guardians mascot or something.
All right, we'll think that.
Has the mascot just been Slider the entire time? Neither was the Guardians or the Indians, so is Slider going to throw the ball really high in the air and then run to home plate and then catch it himself?
I have a feeling if you try and have Chief Wahoo throw out the first pitch, there might be some people that have some problem with that. I'm just going to say, like, I don't know how you pull that off. I don't know how like a logo patch throws out a first pitch, but I creativity, we got it.
It might work on, so it might, you know, get some go viral on social media.
You mean you don't want anybody in red face on the bump?
Yeah. I think that's frowned upon. Not just today, but for a while now. Jeff saying, do whatever has to be done, Albert Bell. Okay, the problem with Albert is, it's the principle of I don't want the players to be scared. It's the same thing with Napoli. Napoli's a little intense. Albert's super intense. We want them to calm down a little bit here. We'll continue to hit your first pitch candidates when we come back. It's way too early for this totally valid conversation on the Browns. 92.3 The Fan. Scott Van Pelt did throw out the first pitch of the Orioles-Royals game of the wild card round. So I don't know if that means, like, that's the level of fame we should expect. SVP, huge, huge member of ESPN for, what, 30 years now? But maybe not as famous as Logan Paul, right? Maybe not as – I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I don't know if that's the level we should go for. I think LeBron is shooting for the moon.
So who's on that level of, like, SVP here in Cleveland?
Fair amount of people. Because he's, like, famous, but he's not, like, everybody knows him famous. He's famous if you're a sports nerd like me.
I feel like Drew Carey's done the SVP.
The Price is Right host? That sounded like a shot. It's not.
Is he Price is Right now, too?
You didn't know?
I mean, I knew What's-His-Face left. I didn't know that he took over.
Did he just call Bob Barker What's-His-Face?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yes, I knew he's been the host of Price is Right.
I'm giving you the De Niro right now.
No.
You talking to me? Sorry, my face is better. My face. No. My De Niro impression in my face is better than my voice impression.
When you said Price is Right, my mind went to Wheel of Fortune because I knew that Paul Sajak just retired. Like what, earlier this year? Or whatever.
Did you just say Paul Sajak?
Sorry.
I think that isn't that Alec Trebek guy? That Alan Trebek? Yeah, that guy. Isn't he still around?
Sajak. I knew that Pat Sajak retired earlier this year, and I thought for some reason my mind went there, and I was
big
like,
"Big fan of Vanna Weiss." This show is all the way off the rails, and we've been in this segment for 1 minute.
You keep plugging away, little buckaroo.
We're going to take your submissions here. We do have some pretty sizable NFL news here, as you heard it in Hody's delectable update. There, the Raiders. Raiders apparently now figure that Davante Adams would like to not be in Vegas anymore. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming he wants to get dealt to the Jets because of Aaron Rodgers.
Probably.
I feel like Aaron Rodgers just activated Davante Adams like a super soldier and was just like, go, be disruptive, get traded here. I would not hate. And listen, the conversation we're going to have that is far too early to have it, but we got to have it because of the way he's playing, the way the Browns are playing. Is the Amari Cooper thing, which a lot of people have brought up this week. I'm not ready to say I'll trade Amari Cooper. I might be ready to say I'd trade Amari Cooper for Davante Adams.
Well, yeah, it's funny that we talked about bringing this up today, and then at the moment we're about to bring it up, this news comes down. Yeah, I mean, if you're doing like a one-for-one swap and there's some picks involved, like...
That's not how one-for-one swaps work.
Okay, that's true. But if you're I just meant like if you're doing like a position per position, like we'll give you our wide receiver, we'll get your wide receiver back, and there's picks involved to sort of get the deal to the finish line, I would be on board with Davante Adams for sure. But I do think like this conversation for me sort of birthed from this idea that like if the Browns continue to struggle, we already know that they were shopping Amari Cooper anyway, based off the Brandon Ayuk conversations they were having with the 49ers. And I can only imagine, like, if we think that Amari Cooper's checked out now, imagine what this thing looks like with, like, two or three more losses added on to it. And so I understand, like, people are going to call in and be like, well, what are you going to get for Amari Cooper at the trade deadline if he continues just dropping passes and, you're selling low, basically. And that's 100% true, which is probably why the Browns tried to, because clearly they didn't necessarily think it was worth investing in Amari Cooper longer term than what they already are. Clearly they sort of saw some sort of writing on the wall in terms of where he was going to go from here. But... Yeah, like on some level you would be selling low, but if you're just thinking about like, well, let's get picks back or let's get something that we can use next year to maybe move up in the draft or just draft capital in general, I could see why it would be something that maybe comes to mind if this thing continues to go south. Now, you throw this wrinkle into it and like, yeah, I would be on board with something like that. I mean, for the Raiders, does it make sense? Probably to an extent because you get a good receiver back for the rest of the season, but at the same time, you don't have any commitment to him beyond this year, so then that kind of frees you up from a contract that you don't have to necessarily worry about.
So there's a lot there. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, the suggestion. What I will say is I think Davante Adams is a more prolific and explosive receiver than Amari is. The thing that would scare me is Davante seems to be a first-class pain in the booty. Like this
it didn't
is,
seem that way when he was in Green Bay, but now that he's gotten out of there, every year he doesn't want to be here.
And he's gone out of his way like two straight years to be like, no, that's not the case, even though the reports are. So at some point, like you can only deny so much if, hey, I'm not a serial killer. Well, there's a knife in your hand, there's blood on it, and a dead body next to you. At some point, you are a pain in the ass. So that would probably be my biggest thing here. The Amari thing, here's the problem. It is week four. Like, 3 of the 4 weeks with Amari have been woefully bad. And it is not simply, he's a reps guy. No, we're into October now. Yeah, he's a reps guy, lasts until about week 3, depending on how much I like you. Once we get into October, I have no more patience for this. So even if this is all cumulative, that Amari took the eye off the ball because he was pissed about the trade, the Ayuk stuff, or he was mad he didn't get a contract extension. I don't care. Because right now, you're one of the highest paid guys on this team, and I need you to be a source of change. But to say that week four is when, I got to be honest with you, it's people sniffing at the carcass of the Browns. It is totally a valid conversation because they don't owe him a lot of money. They don't. The way they designed this is they converted most of his salary this year into a signing bonus, which allows, I think at the deadline, his dead cap's like $600,000.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not going to preclude you. It might actually make him more attractive because he doesn't cost a damn thing.
Right.
The same point, I hate when it feels like people are either rooting for the Browns to fail or sniffing around that carcass because they have a lot of pieces that they would like to see on other teams that don't have Deshaun Watson on it.
You're saying from like the outside perspective of people saying like, would they trade for it? Is that what you're saying?
Because it started this
way. Because I'm not bringing this up as like, let's keep rooting so that they trade Amari Cooper. Like, I want them to get the train on the tracks and I want Amari to have success here. I mean, what's one of the wildest things about the Amari Cooper experience this year is the fact that, I mean, during the Brandon Ayuk trade rumors, we would come on the air every day and talk about like, well, if you had to choose between the two, like, where are you going with this? And I 100% understood why they were pursuing a younger version of Amari, like a guy who's a really good route runner and is a playmaker that maybe hasn't tapped into his full potential in San Francisco because he's got so many other pieces around him, and you want to bring him in here. And if you're trying to give a contract extension out to somebody, you'd rather give it to the guy who's 25 rather than the guy who just turned 30. So I understood all the reasons for it, but I always went back to the idea of like, yeah, but like, for this year, I really like Amari because he's bought in, he gets the culture, he's been here, he's a good leader. And I feel like in 4 weeks' time, all the goodwill that Amari built up over 2 years where people were like vouching for him during that conference. Like if the Brandon Ayuk stuff started right now and it was like, oh yeah, the Browns apparently are sniffing around trying to trade for Brandon Ayuk, I guarantee you a lot of those Browns fans who are in his corner saying, no, I like the fit of Amari on this team. I don't want to mess with a good thing. I guarantee you most of those people are back on the other side now and they're like, give me Brandon Ayuk. I would take Brandon Ayuk.
I think what's interesting is whether you think this conversation and when it becomes germane. I think it's too early. Do you agree, by the way, just real quick?
I don't think it's too early.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Why not? They're 1-3 and they've got 13 games left.
But I think that because this team was already exploring their options in terms of like shopping Amari Cooper, and now you can make the case that he's being he's a hindrance to your team.
That's going to help his trade value, by the way.
Well, I already conceded that you're selling low at this point. And by the trade deadline, you could be selling even lower if this continues. Like I'm not saying you're going to get a lot for him. But
so then what's the point? Why not just let him play out his contract?
Because then he just walks in free agency. At least if you can get like a fourth-round pick for Amari Cooper, you get a fourth-round pick for Amari Cooper.
That's gonna help you in the second half of the season, that fourth-round pick.
But again, if I'm thinking from this perspective of like if this thing continues to go south, then right now I think you could still get something of value for him because there's always going to be a team out there that thinks like, oh, if he comes here, it's a better situation. He's going to be bought in with us because he's not bought in with this 1-3 team that was, you know, saying they basically didn't care about paying him and showed they didn't really value him in the offseason. There's always going to be a team that does that. So I think there's still like some value right now. I'm saying like by the trade deadline, yeah, it could be worse. But in the second half of the season, if they continue losing games, does it matter if Amari Cooper's here or not?
I think it matters more about how the team does than Amari doesn't. Amari's got a contract. And unless somebody bowls you over at the deadline and you are still a one-win team, yeah, I think Amari's going to be here. I don't think you get better by subtracting players, even if one of those players is woefully disappointing and should be leading your way out.
Well, obviously you don't get better by trading a guy of Amari Cooper's caliber in theory because he's supposed to be one of your better players. But
at that
point in the season, like what?
If you're not saving money.
Does it matter if you're trying to get better if the goal is, okay, well, now we have to think about like what? Because if it goes south, well, we knew that this was the window. This was a year you were supposed to be like a title contender, right? But and we all said like, we just want to enjoy the moment. We just want to spend our time enjoying this season because we don't want to look ahead to the fact that like, Well, there's a lot of guys whose contracts are up this year. Nick Chubb, Amari Cooper, offensive line gets another year older. Like, they're going to have some tough decisions to make, so we just want to live in the moment. But the more games they lose, the more we got to start looking ahead and being like, what does this offseason look like? The more they have to start looking to the offseason and being like, well, okay, how are we going to set ourselves up to replenish this offensive line that we thought was good and clearly is having issues? Jet Wills might not be back. Are you going to get a new left tackle?
Maybe, like, Andrew Berry could take another fourth-round pick flyer and a wide receiver.
Maybe.
Those have worked out so well.
I mean, bites at the apple. Who knows?
So here's my thing. If it's not – if what you get – if so you're not saving money because you've already paid him his money. So the crux of his value is that he's very cheap and that he previously has been this high-level player, right?
Yeah.
But – this is all about how bad are you and what's the value. So a fourth round pick doesn't do it for me because...
I mean, I just threw that out there as an idea. I always have a hard time. I don't have who is it that has like the sheet of like what each pick is worth in relation to whatever, like that arbitrary list that they say teams use to sort of do the
Jimmy
math
Johnson
on those things. Yeah,
trade
the Jimmy
chart.
Johnson
yeah.
trade chart. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, no, but I think my point is, so this is where it's the two things here, the axis that this is rolling across is, on one hand, it's how good or bad are you? And the other is, what is the value? And there is a sweet spot if you're let's see, 4 weeks from now, if you're a two-win team and somebody offers you a third-round pick, maybe it makes sense. But today at 1-3, I think we're starting to do this thing of looking for the fall guy in season. You've got a roster. Like, what are we doing here? So, like, and I think it's way too early. But to me, it is, when it becomes a conversation is Amari actually playing well enough where somebody's going to give you something of value, and are the Browns still just not working their way out there? Also, a little bit of breaking news here, which is good because it's been about 5 minutes since we had breaking news. Browns rookie defensive tackle Mike Hall Jr., the out of Ohio State, suspended 5 games without pay for a violation of the personal conduct policy. So he has been on the commissioner's exempt list to start the season because of the domestic violence charges filed in the preseason. So we now know, in addition to the time served, which of course the commissioner's list is a paid leave, Mike Hall, now a 5-game suspension from the league for those violations. So we got that going for us. I mean, I do think it's nice to get clarity because I do think whenever, should Mike ever get on the field, I think he might be one of the answers to some of the problems they're having getting sack production beyond Myles Garrett. Got to get on the field first.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of that big question mark of how long was it going to take for the NFL to sort of make a decision on this, because, you know, like Rashid Rice was still playing games while his situation had kind of played itself out, and it was like, oh, okay, this guy's playing. Yeah, I mean, anytime you can, I think it's fine given how they've played against the run to this point. The more depth you can add on the defensive front, more guys you can rotate in, the better, because I have a lot of questions about a lot of those guys right now. But it sounds like obviously now we got to wait 5 games to find out what Mike Hall is going to bring to the table, which is disappointing because he did have a good camp. He had a good offseason. There was a lot of hype for him as kind of the top pick of the class this past year. But we're not going to get to see him until about like week 10.
In this instance, we'll research this in the break. I don't recall off the top of my head whether players can appeal this. So that's something we'll look at here. The other thing is that means, again, assuming that this Sunday against Washington is game one, that means you'd see him at the earliest at November 17th, meaning he'd probably rejoin the team coming off the bye. And the earliest he would play is November 17th, meaning the most amount we'd see from him is, let's see, carry the 2. That means 8 games this season. So we do have a definitive answer on Mike Hall Jr., but 216-474-0092 as we continue on. The question here, is it too early for the trade Amari conversation? More on that next on 92.3 The Fan. I'm going to put this on Andy Roth. That's his last week here.
Segment, just like the last couple weeks, or the last couple minutes of the segment, I should say.
So just like the...
Can we just like Men in Black people's...
Wait. You know, you're trying to erase it because you said Paul Sajak.
No, I did not go back that far. I said the segment's fine until the final part where you're talking about Mike Hall and we made a mistake. That was all I said. I just want to Men in Black that part of the segment out of their memory.
I would rather, because we were reading a tweet off Andy's phone. He didn't even pull up the right tweet. Love you, buddy. We're going to miss you around here. I'm going to miss throwing you under the bus. But... I think of anything that's human error. Like we're just finding this out in real time here. That's different than you saying Paul Sajak or any of the other things. That's the one I would get out of there.
Man, no? We can do that too if you want. No?
Well, all right. So the latest here is Mike Hall Jr. of the Browns suspended 5 games without pay for a violation of the personal conduct policy. He's been on the commissioner's exempt list since the beginning of the regular season. He was not eligible to play in the first 4 games. He will actually be eligible for reinstatement on Monday, October 7th,
next week.
Yeah, so he'll be there, theoretically. Could be ready for the Philadelphia game. And all regular season games a player missed while on the commissioner's exempt list will be credited against suspension. And the player must remit his salary for those games.
So he basically got like time served is what it was.
Yeah. And a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially. Time served plus
the fifth
game.
We said yeah a lot there in like a short order there.
Yeah.
We covered it because now we feel smarter. So Mike Hall Jr. will be coming off the commissioner's exempt list on October 7th. Now he just needs to avoid any more drama or headache there or charges. We'll see if he can do it. I'm rooting for him.
He's got a week.
Yeah.
Just a week. Can you hold out for a week?
I mean, you've held out this long, as far as we know. I think another week should feel like cake.
It will be interesting to see like how they shuffle the roster when he gets back. Like, is it going to be move on from one of these other defensive linemen? Is it going to be somewhere else on the roster because they want to have even more depth along the defensive line? Next week that'll be an interesting part of this conversation just to see like what move they make to reinstate him on the team.
It's going to be like a dude you and I have never heard of.
Probably.
Like whoever is below Winston Reed on the depth chart, it's going to be that guy.
So the reason I say that though is because like these teams get intricate with like the numbers at positions they keep, right? And that's the game we always play at like the start of the season. It's like, well, let's give us your 53-man roster projection. And you like map it out. Like, well, generally they keep 9 defensive whatever.
I've literally never done that on radio.
I'm not saying on the air, but it's like a written thing that people do. I do writing, Nick, as well. So, you know.
Oh, like, look at you.
I contribute
Mr. John Carroll Education.
I contribute other things. I know how to write, so I do that.
Some of us failed out of Ivy League school, like Bowling Green. Thank you very much.
But no, I just mean like maybe they just cut some back end of the roster guy and that's that. But if they actually move somebody off of like the defensive line, it's going to be a name that you know. Because it could be like a Maurice Hurst. It could be like a Quentin Jefferson. Like there are some names that we know that they might actually move off of to put him on the roster. It's just going to be interesting
to see. Really appreciate how you're trying to sell a fight.
It could also just be a Sam Kamara who's like, oh, okay, whatever.
If I let you go, you're just going to mention every guy on the roster. Like it could be Kaliki Hudson. It could be could be Devin Bush.
Again, linebackers. I don't know that it's just going to be a linebacker.
Could be Winston Reed. Could be Tony Brown II.
Could be Amari Cooper.
That's right. Could be DeAnthony Bell. Could be Myles Garrett. We could just do. I think the rest of this segment is now. We could just talk about all the guys they could cut to make room for Mike Hall.
That would be a waste of time, Nick.
I mean, I think we have yet to do 53-man roster radio. I don't know why.
Oh my God.
We've opened Pandora's box.
So here's Nick again trying to take something that I said and turn it into a segment that I wasn't intending. I didn't say that you should do this on the radio. I was just saying it's an annual thing. Do you read Cleveland.com? Do you read Mary Kay's work there?
You know I can't
Nick?
Read. I'm from Medina
County.
That's
true. And you went to Bowling Green, so of course not.
Could be Blake Whitehart.
What's that thing they say? Can't read, can't write, Bowling Green?
I believe that's a different school.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I believe we have something to do with STDs. But that was a different time. It was when I went to school there.
So that chlamydia billboard that they took down, that was there. It was directed at
Bowling
Green.
Because I left school. Yeah, it's actually... Wilson's gone. We're good here. Carry on. For you with Amari Cooper, when does it actually make sense? Because I know you said the conversation makes sense now, but when's the point where you have to trade him by? Is it just the deadline? I'm a little surprised you're open to it, because I continue to just come back to your 1-3, and I think it's easier to solve your problems with Amari Cooper than subtracting him.
I guess so. I just want to ask you this: like, you don't think? I understand, like, publicly, Kevin Stefanski's never going to be, because he his go-to answer is going to be like, well, we don't talk about trade things, whatever, or trade rumors, whatever. But
sounded exactly like Kevin Stefanski.
We don't talk about trade rumors. You don't think, though, like, behind closed doors, that Andrew Berry is at least, like, thinking about, like, the possibility of at some point they had to move Amari Cooper, given that they already were talking about trading him? Like, I just think that's a conversation that's already happening anyway. Like, whether we're having it on the radio or not.
But you would have those conversations regardless, because he's going to the final year. But there's a difference between having them abstractly in the building.
But you don't think they ramp up a little bit more given his struggles? So they're like, I don't know, maybe we need to maybe explore this a little bit deeper.
No. I think... Listen, you're in a position of strength here. You have the thing that other people don't have, which is the guy who's been a pretty consistent top 20 receiver in the NFL for the last decade. Yeah, he's going into the final contract year. He's making a lot of money, even though that's not going to impact those teams. Yeah, he's dropping balls right now and doesn't look great, but you have the thing.
Yeah.
So it's just like the idea of Miami with Jameis Winston. It's like, cool, make an offer. Because the only thing that's going to bump up the deadline is if somebody comes along and says, hey, I got a second-round pick with your name on it if you give us Amari Cooper. That's the third thing there, because I've mentioned two things earlier, their record and Amari's performance. But the other thing, the third thing is somebody desperate enough to do it? I'm not having that conversation until somebody shows me the desperation, because whether it's anything less than a third-rounder for a wide receiver when you still have expectations this season feels like a panic move, even if the guy does seem to be a pain in the Badinsky.
But that is another reason why, don't you think it makes more sense that his value is going to be a little bit higher now, given like the later you get in the season, it's less games with the player. Yes, maybe the money's a little bit different, so that helps the cause. But like, if somebody wants to maximize, like, we want Amari Cooper for the long haul of the season, maybe you would give up more now because you're trying to add him to your roster to help you at this current time. So that's why I'm saying, like, maybe it does make sense for that to ramp up now. Now, the trade deadline's a little bit later this year, November 5th, so that would be after the Chargers game, 2 days after the Chargers game. Here's what I'll say. I think if you want to put like a timeline on like when it actually makes the most sense, I'm not just going to go right to the trade deadline and say then. I think
you should wait to the last possible second.
I think
you should give this team every chance and Amari every chance to make good on this season.
But
right?
if you lose like two of the next three games and you're sitting there at what that would be 2-6.
Don't ask me to do math.
It's 2-6.
Sure.
And you're at the Bengals and you lose to the Bengals and like that and you lose a division game. Okay, well now I think like the door's like wide open. You're 2-6. The schedule's only going to get tougher. You have a lot of division games left, yes, but I think that's where it really becomes a possibility. But I do think the conversation can. I think it's appropriate for the conversation to be starting.
You don't have to trade him, right? Like you realize that the teams all the time take good players into free agency and lose them for nothing, and it doesn't kill you. It doesn't. Those last eight games of the season might matter more to the Browns, even if all it is to try and get some momentum and regroup. Those might matter more than, somebody came along.
So just because it always happens, they shouldn't think about trying to get something for Amari Cooper? Like, every team, they lose guys every year. Who cares?
I think you're asking a specific question that's so early in it that it's almost an abstract answer.
I'm not saying like...
It's a choose-your-own-adventure. Depends what happens.
I'm not saying if by the time you get to week seven and if you lose to the Bengals or something and you're 2-6 that like, all right, it's upheaval. Let's have a fire sale and just trade everybody. Amari Cooper is an asset that you can probably get something of value back for. We're tossing around like a third-round pick. Like teams value a third-round pick. If that's what you can actually get back for them... I think you would make that move. We just saw the Raiders are out here saying they want at least a second round pick plus some other things for Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams is older than Amari Cooper. So you're talking about an asset that's even younger than him. Like if that's the market for Devontae Adams, I think the market should be relatively close to what that's similar to what it would be for Amari Cooper.
I reject the premise on two grounds. One, I'm focused on winning, not selling.
Yeah, right and now I know that's this fine.
Anything before November, I'm not having the conversation. I'm not. I'm trying to win. I'm not giving up, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but I think a lot of people want to prematurely hit the eject button on this season. I can't do it. And Amari's a big, and the same thing with Deshaun. Amari and Deshaun are the same thing. They're not playing well enough, or I don't like them, in the case of Deshaun, well, just get rid of him. Well, that's not really how this is going to go.
I don't know that it's so much that people don't like Amari, because like I said, I think Amari actually has been like a fan favorite here.
Until the last four games.
Well, yeah, but and it's funny because like he could have redeemed himself, obviously, if the touchdown gets upheld in that game on Saturday. I also think there's another part of this too that revolves around the receiver that's outplaying Amari Cooper.
Look at that. That's called a tease. We'll get back to that. Cleveland Sports Twist saying, Cleveland may be the school of STDs, but it will always be the Ivy League of the MAC. Finally. That's right. So we know how to cure whatever we get. The 5 at 5 next on 92.3 The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.